Let's do it.
So welcome everyone to another episode of the Sickle Cell Podcast. We're switching things up a little today. My name is Abby, and I'm also on the team here at Sickle Cell 101. I'm also a medical student. So for the month of July, we've been talking about sickle cell trait. So we're going to keep talking about sickle cell trait and bringing all this amazing content to y'all. So please check out our platforms. If you haven't listened to the last podcast on hot topics in sickle cell, which included talking about family planning and genetic compatibility, please check it out. Those were really hot topics. Now, moving on to today's episode, I have some amazing guests with me today, Abisola and Shay Shof, popularly known as the Shofs on social media. We'll be talking about all things sickle cell trait. I have a sickle cell trait, hemoglobin AS. So this is going to be a fun conversation. Since we're all Nigerians here, I'm going to play a little icebreaker. Name one Nigerian dish that you cannot do without. I can start.
And mine is yam. You're not allowed to eat jollof rice, just FYI. Just saying. Okay, go ahead, please.
So mine is yam and egg sauce. There's just something about it that, like, I cannot live without. How about you guys?
Yam is definitely my favorite food, but I don't eat it often. That's funny enough. So I feel like if someone puts a gun to my head, I could live without it just because I don't eat it that often, but I love it like so much. Mine, he already knows mine is jollof rice. Like, I can't
live without jollof. We're not allowed to say jollof rice.
How can you not live life without jollof?
Nigerian jollof. Let's clear the Nigerian jollof.
You know,
I don't know, she sold out. She likes Ghanaian jollof right now.
I betrayed the culture because I love Ghanaian jollof. I don't discriminate. Let's put it this way. I don't discriminate between jollof.
That's fair.
Yeah.
That's fair. How about you?
Man, that's a tough one. Like, I can tell you, I can't tell you what I don't like to eat. I eat everything as long as it goes in. I like it all. Man,
I don't think he'll notice if any food is missing.
We're actually having this conversation today just for some random reason, and I couldn't come up with a favorite food. But if I was really to choose, I'll say turkey. I have this love affair with turkey. I know it's not food like that, but when you grill the turkey and it's so moist, it's so good. I don't know.
Definitely Nigerian food, though.
At least I tried it.
I'm like, how are we going to consider it?
Yeah.
Okay, I'll take it. I'm already getting hungry now. I'm just like, how did I even end up picking this question? Anyways, let's dive into the episode. My very first question for you. So a lot of us that find ourselves being involved in the sickle cell community, some of us like to say sickle cell found us, sickle cell picked us, but we always have like our own reason on as to why we're involved in the community. So for you guys, why sickle cell?
I mean, it's sickle cell. That conversation was a part of my everyday life for almost 2 years. And it was the deal breaker between whether or not we would get married. So for that reason, it was just so much that I was like, man, God, like, if everything goes well, like, I have kids, they're healthy, everything, like, man, like, I'm going to be invested. They're going to be sold out for you. Like, it's just like, just do this. So I'm very passionate about that. My heart really goes out to the people who suffer with that disease. Like, I can't just ignore it because it was a part of me.
And for me, I mean, similarly, right? But for me, when I was much younger, my parents had always been telling me that, hey, you're AS, you have the trait, be very careful who you choose to marry. And I mean, I was a kid, what did I care, right? But then eventually I met her and I proposed, and then we discovered we had the trait. And as she said, for 2 years nonstop, is this going to work? Are we going to get married? Like, it was so deep and so intense that one way or the other, we just found ourselves involved.
Wow, that's that's deep. very similar background to me. Like, I grew up knowing that I had the trait, and I also have siblings who are living with sickle cell disease. So it's one of those things that my family is like, yes, they tell you they have sickle cell trait, or they don't have sickle cell trait, rather. We want to see the results. It was that far, like, we're not playing these games. We know how bad it can be.
Yeah.
So thanks for sharing that. Thanks for sharing that. Can you both tell us a little bit more about the Shelfs? Who are you guys? What do you guys do? You kind of mentioned a little bit about like the relationship, like how did you guys meet? Tell us a little more.
Wow. You're looking at me. You want me to do the honors? Okay, so Abisola and Shay Show, we are married, been married for 9 years. We have 2 kids and don't count, you know that. We have 2 kids and I guess a lot of people know us from social media for our funny videos. And we try to center those videos, something around marriage or relationships. And I think the overall goal is we want to show that marriage can be fun. It can be enjoyable. It can be healthy. You can be happy in marriage. And that's what we want people to aspire to, especially a lot of the single people, even though it looks like we're catering to married people. Yes, we want married people to, you know, bliss in their marriage, but also single people to be intentional about the kind of spouse that they settle with. So that's our goal. And we jump around and joke around and dance around on Instagram and TikTok. And once in a while, we have more sit down and talk kind of topics on YouTube as well. How did we meet? You want to tell that short story? Like, super short.
We met. No, I'm just kidding. Super short. It's not me. No, we met through my sister. My sister and her sister are friends. My sister had always been trying to make me meet her sister's friend. And I was like, no way, I'm not interested, until I saw her. And I was like, oh, can you organize a social? Just invite your sister's friend's sister to come. Well, you get it, yeah. And then I made my move on Facebook when Facebook was still a thing.
Oh, wow. Love story. I love it. I love it. And what do you guys do occupation-wise?
For work? Okay, so I am a healthcare consultant for the government. I work for a private company, but consult for the government.
Yeah, and I run a startup. It's called Wipik, and we're telling stories about African writers, by African writers and underrepresented writers across the globe.
Awesome, awesome, awesome. Well, thank you for sharing all of that. I feel like I know you guys a little more.
I want to ask those questions back to you. It's just like, can I know about you too? But I get it.
Oh,
focused.
Yeah, I can definitely share. I can share. Well, I'm in medical school right now, and originally from Nigeria as well. Moved here in 2012, college and all of that. Worked a little bit before getting into medical school. So that's the little journey for me right now.
So there's one interesting thing about me, by the way. So
yes.
Instagram that labeled me Dr. Shay.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Like I'm an engineer, I'm an engineering tech field, but I don't know, maybe I convinced.
I think it was YouTube that labeled you Dr.
Shay. Oh, YouTube? Okay, yeah. There you go.
Oh, my bad. I know I saw it somewhere. I'm like, please, let's give honor where honor is due.
they joke around. It's all a joke.
Oh, okay. Good to know. Okay, so on to our next question. I know Shay already shared about how he kind of found out about trait and stuff, but how did you know that you had the sickle cell trait? When did you first get diagnosed? Did you get tested at all? And yeah, how much did you even know about sickle cell disease, sickle cell trait?
Yeah, I think a lot of people who grew up in Nigeria knew about it just because you know someone who knows someone who had sickle cell once upon a time. And my parents were very informed. They weren't informed as of when they got married, but my mom is that kind of person who's always learning. And so she made us all do the test. We had our results. Okay, you are ASC, you're ASC, you're AA, there's 4 of us. And so she told me I was AA, and I was like, hooray, I could get married to whoever I want to get married to. And then I met him and he was like, oh, by the way, you know, are you AA or AS? And I was like, oh, I'm AA, we're good. And he was like, okay, good, because I'm AS. And my dad has warned me, don't bring AS home. I was like, oh, we're good. And when it was time to, he wanted to propose to me, he told his dad, and his dad was like, okay, oh, shit, she's not AS. And he's like, ah, no, I already asked that, we're good. I said, okay, let me see the results. Just like he said, like, you know, we're not playing around here. His dad is a lawyer. He's like, I need facts. I need receipts. Yeah. So I was like, I don't have results. It's from when I was a child. You know, let's go find somewhere to do it. We went somewhere. We did it. I didn't even think about it because I already knew I was AA. Results came and it was AA. So I was like, ah, this will not do work. They don't know.
Yeah.
At least we don't know what they're doing. And I was like, God, we have to gather money to go and do another test. So, okay, so we did it again because I was just so, I mean, like my mom already told me. So we went again and did it. And it came back as AS. Ah, I said, oh, yeah, call mommy. Mommy.
we didn't believe it. It took us how long? It took us like 3 months before we did the second test.
Yes.
In between then, I had already proposed because I didn't actually think, you know, the result. First of all, the result took 16 weeks or so to come out. I don't know, several weeks to come out. I don't know why we used some. We were Brooke students or no, recent grads or something like that. So we just went to some inner city Baltimore young adult hospital something that did it like for that. Free.
Yeah.
And in the meantime, I was like, hey, will you marry me? Yes, I'll marry you. We're celebrating. Only for a little while later, once the results came and we were like, yeah.
Yeah. So I called my mom and I said, okay, results are out and I'm AS. What's going on? And she's like, ah, no, they don't know what they're doing. You're AA. And she goes back into her files where she files all four of our test results and then realized that I was actually AS. My results then came out as AS, but she had mixed up my results and my younger sister's results. So that was just like, oh my God, this is for real. I think that's when I finally really believed that I was AS.
Essentially, blame everything on her mom. I don't know whether it's a good blame or bad blame.
I mean,
because yeah, if she actually knew she was AS and we were, you know, at the talking stage, I don't know that would have necessarily continued.
I would have ended.
Yeah.
It's why.
Yeah.
Why is she going to all that?
Yeah.
Or yeah.
If she knew she was AS, right? Maybe. Let's say the results came out just before I proposed. I don't know, like, it would have been a lot more to think about. It may have been much easier to say no. But then it was like, I'd proposed, I'd gone to New York for my internship, and then several, like, a month or two later, we found out that, like, I was already in this. Yeah, so.
That's rough. That's really, really rough. Would you guys say that, well, since Abisola, you didn't know that you had the trait. So for you, Shay, did you have any issues dating in the past?
Honestly, I was so young then that AS and AA and SS was not the first thing on my mind. Like, that's number one. Number two, I mean, then I was studying in America, so you know, it wasn't as common. Now, maybe if I was in Nigeria, right, I mean, I've thought about it more, but I didn't really think about it. And so, no, I didn't have issues dating just because I didn't even think about that as a factor. And even if I was dating, I wasn't thinking, I'm dating this person because I'm trying to marry this person. We met when we were in college, so my mind was not that level yet.
Makes sense. This is definitely like one of those things that I tell my friends too. The conversation is a little different when you have the trait. For me, I know that like I've had to have that conversation very, very, very early on. Because even my partner now, I remember him being like, I'm AA. And I'm like, great. You know, that was like a little bit of a relief in the beginning. But like, I knew that if it was something we were going to go further in, I was going to have to see the receipts.
Exactly.
So it was a little calming, but I know that in the past, there've been like little conversations that I'm like, what's your genotype? Do you know your genotype? They happen to know, oh, I'm AS. I'm not doing that. You know, because I've lived through that, like having siblings who actually have sickle cell disease. I feel like it just puts me in a very interesting place that I'm like, that pain for the rest of your life.
Yeah.
You know, and science has gotten so much better and there's still more research being done. So we know that things are going to get better, But knowing what I knew, it was just not worth it for me at the time. Okay. But yeah, thanks for sharing. Have you both ever experienced any complications with your sickle cell trait? For example, like this popular opinions that when you go to high altitudes, you can get a similar pain crisis, like people living with sickle cell disease or with extreme exercise. Have you ever experienced any of those things?
I can't say I've ever experienced that, or even if I have, I'm not aware. I used to do a lot of sports, right? Karate, jumping up walls, doing a lot of crazy things, and pain never stopped me. So I don't think I've ever experienced it.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know the answer. Like, I feel like even if I have, I know I get tired very easily, very often, but I'm like, this is why I suppose you're not taking your vitamins. Like,
who knows, right? Show that vitamins don't really do anything.
At least vitamin D, I know you should be taking
it's
that.
Exercise, sis. Okay. It's
well, exercise. Right. So there's all these things. Like, is it because I'm not exercising enough? Or even when I try to exercise, I get very tired very easily. So I don't know. Maybe it's because of the sickle cell trait. Maybe not. I have been to like the high mountains of hiking in Colorado, and I didn't feel any kind of pain or anything. So maybe I don't have any kind of symptoms to my trait.
That's fair. That's fair. Yeah. I'm kind of in the same boat as well. There was a time I went skydiving, and like a couple days after, I felt sick. I don't know if that has anything to do with my sickle cell trait. Just like you said, like, I don't really attribute like pain and all of that to the sickle cell trait because it's not that often for me. So it's hard to say. And I feel like it also depends on the sickle cell trait that you have. Like if you have the AC or you have one of the thalassemias, it could probably be different, but just thought to ask. And you guys slightly touched on this already, but do you have any family members with sickle cell disease?
No, we don't.
I don't know. I do have a friend who unfortunately passed away to sickle cell disease, but I don't have.
Oh, I'm so sorry. Okay. So we're getting into the meat of all of this. So deciding to get married, knowing you both have the sickle cell trait. Kudos. Were you guys scared? How did you end up moving forward with your decision? I know Shay had already proposed, so it's like, you can't be like, give me back my ring.
I mean, we could have done that, right? I mean, as long as you've not signed the paper, you can always.
Well, that's true. So I want to just dive into all of this. So tell us all about it. Were you scared? What was the process like? Did you get any family backlash? Where did you find information to even decide that, okay, we can fully move forward?
Yeah, maybe the first place to start from is a family backlash. The backlash came. It was fierce. It was fast and furious. Like, no.
Wow.
Part 1 through 8. And after that, they were thinking of being part 9 of the Fast and Furious. But no, you can imagine, right? Because for me, this was something that since I can remember, probably since I knew how to speak and think, my mom had been saying, Malo fe sickle cell wale, don't marry a sickle cell lady, or like that kind of thing. And it was just because we had a family friend who had a child that had sickle cell, and they had seen the pain. And so when, you know, I finally truly got the result from the test center, and I was like, daddy, what happened was, you see, you know, I told you that was the case, but yeah, that's not exactly the case. It was like, yeah, it's not a problem, you know, it just can happen. Like, I was like, but wait, no, there's some research that, no, it just can happen. Don't worry about what the research says. It just can't happen. And so, like, for 2 years, it was like that back and forth. It was difficult because almost every Nigerian knows this. An AS should not be with an AS for that reason, because you're trying to prevent a child from having sickle cell. And so, you know, trying to explain to parents that there are different options, that there, and actually, even before we spoke to the parents, right, we had to do some research to understand what the options were. So all the possible search terms that existed, we put them in Google. We got so many different things. And then we had to have a conversation that, okay, do we think these options are feasible. If they're not feasible for us, are we okay with the option of adopting a kid? And if we decide, no, we don't want to adopt a kid, are we okay with the option of not even having kids? And if none of the options, and I mean, there's still a lot of options, we'll get into that, right? But if none of the options are feasible, then is this relationship worth fighting the battle that we know we're going to fight? Because we know what to tell our parents, right? In that battle. And that battle came and it was fast and furious.
Yeah, the things you mentioned is just exploring our options, right? I would say that separating was an option and it's a valid option, right? If you're not willing to go, so just gambling to have a child and hoping for the 75% is not a valid option, was not a valid option for us. So it's, can we have healthy children? If we cannot have healthy children, adoption was a valid option for us that we explored. And we were both content, like super content with that option. Like if we're not willing to go through IVF, can we bring home other kids and love on them? Absolutely. So being at peace with those options, I think was why we were like, okay, now we can go ahead. And another thing we did was, you know, there's a physical of, okay, what is the path for having kids? And then there's a spiritual of, God, is this a sign from above that we should
not even make?
Are you trying to tell us something that maybe we think we're good together, but, you know, we should pause, we shouldn't actually get married? Like, are you trying to say something? Like, just tell me, you know? I remember going to our pastor, like, I'm sure he was even tired of us. Maybe he probably wasn't, but we went to him, like, several times, like, it's just a very tough situation to be in, especially it's not like, oh, we just met yesterday and we're considering dating. It's like, I've been so close to you.
3 years of that time.
Something like that. And again, a breakup is valid, but you just have to be sure that you've weighed your options. And again, I'll say this because we've talked to several couples, but I'll say it again, weighing your option, gambling and risking and just saying, hey, let's just see whether God will show us favor is not a valid option. So,
yeah. I mean, what made it possible for us to say this is the path forward is when we did the research, the options we saw medically, right, is, you know, you do the IVF PGD testing to have a child that doesn't have sickle cell. Then, you know, we saw some research that there's bone marrow transfer to, if you actually do have a child with sickle cell, bone marrow transfer, but of course you don't even want to go down that path, right? And so we do not consider that a valid option. The only option that really made sense medically was the IVF with PGD testing. And so it was when we saw that particular option that we said that, okay, there is a path forward. Thankfully, we're in the United States, as long as we get good jobs and they have decent insurance, we can figure out a way to get it covered. Because I can imagine that if we were in Nigeria, even though that was an option, that option may not be affordable for us. And I do recall like a conversation with my father. It was like, why are you going for an expensive or natural option in that, in quotes, when there are more natural and free ways of doing it? And I'm like, well, yeah, but then you also need to weigh, all right, is this the right person that I've determined that is the right person for me? And I think that was the main thing, right? We took 40 days apart to pray and fast. I don't know. I believe God directed us because, you know, he spoke to us in our different ways. Mm-hmm. But beyond that, the most important thing was saying that, okay, is this the kind of person I'm willing to fight for? Not just in this situation, but for the rest of my life. Because if it's not the kind of person that no matter what happens, I'm not going to fight for, then why are we going through all this? Why don't we just go our separate ways? And ultimately, for me, the answer was yes. And so for 2 years, that fight went on with all members of my family. Like, it was like the unspoken taboo. Yeah.
And another thing I'll add is when you're in that lovey-dovey phase of, oh, should we get married? Should we not? And, but we can adopt now, but we can do IVF and PGD. And then, we have options. And then I see people get married. And I say this because I've had so many conversations with couples in my DMs and even like face-to-face conversations. And then they get married and it's like, the PGD, and they'll be giving me needles. And then it's like, it's for real now. It's going to happen. And then you're like, maybe we should just pray. Maybe God will just show us favor. And all of a sudden you're changing plans. Mm-hmm. It doesn't really work that way. Like, you have to stick to the plan. If you say you're going to adopt, stick to the plan, get whatever birth control or sew your things together, whatever you need to sew or cut off, and go adopt kids. You know, like, you can't just change your plans after you've made them before you get married.
One last thing, in fact, for us, adoption was actually our number one option as opposed to the PGD. The reason why we couldn't necessarily go down that path was, I don't know if you know, but adopting in America is so difficult and so expensive. Just to go through the process, the approval, like, the PGD process took about 6 to 8 months in total, but that's even short compared to adoption. And so,
I think it wasn't necessarily the weight for me. I think it was the emotional roller coaster that was involved. True. So there's many different paths to adoption, but it was just like, okay, but then it's not sure. Then you can keep the kid for like 2 months probation. And then if the parents ask for it, and I'm just like, I can't, like, it was emotionally draining thinking about like getting attached to a child or waiting so long for a child that you think is yours. And then like last minute they can withdraw. It was just like, my heart cannot take it, you know.
That's
if you get approved. We did explore adopting from Nigeria, which would have made my heart so glad. Both of us are not citizens, are still not citizens. So who gonna give you a child from Nigeria to bring them here? Yeah. You know, I think there's a path, like if you want to go live there for a couple of years, then you can bring it. It's just so complicated. And we just kind of rolled it out at that point. Yeah.
Wow. I hear like, be realistic. I feel like you said, like when you're in the lovey-dovey stage, it's easy to just be lost in that and be like, yeah, we can make it work, but we love each other. But I feel like this is one of the things where just love is not gonna be through. Like, your relationship has to be able to withstand the demand that's about to come from whichever option you end up taking. Like, if it means separating, then, you know, you guys are going your separate ways. But if you're going to pick an option, like you said, pick one and stick to it. I really liked that. I think it's really important to highlight that so people understand it's not enough to just have the conversation and be like, okay, yeah, well, there's IVF and we can do that if that works and we can adopt.
Right.
Realistic. What does it take to actually go through each of this process? Can you do the adoption route? Like, are you capable of waiting that long and going through that whole emotional attachment, detachment, all of that, the money that goes into IVF? Not everybody in America has like good healthcare or insurance. So like, what's the reality of that? You know, people take out loans and all. Do you already have loans that you're dealing with? Do you want to add more? It's so complicated. Yeah. So I like the idea of being very, very realistic with what's actually unique to you, because people hear other people's stories and it sounds good, but your relationship might not be as strong as the other person's, or your options might not be the same. So thanks for sharing that.
And I think a lot of times when people share their experiences, right? So for example, if someone walks up to me and, you know, I would be like, oh yeah, we did IVF with PGD and that's it. But there's so much details that's loaded in that sentence that I'm not sharing with you. Like, do you want to know the details? Do your research, talk to people. What is the adoption process like? How did you feel? How long did you wait? Talk to people, what is IVF and PGD like? What are the things I should consider? I would tell you, you need to consider not only the cost that we talked about, but the ethics behind it, right?
Right.
Is your faith, you know, does your faith permit you to do that? I know some people who have said, for the sake of my faith, I don't feel comfortable doing that. And that's valid, but it's something you have to weigh, not until it's time to do it. And then you're like, ah, no, Jesus is not gonna like this. You know, like, those are things. Yeah. It's definitely an ethics conversation that we had. You know, we had our concerns about it as well, but you have to talk to people and make sure that you're comfortable doing it.
Absolutely. So you guys went through the IVF process. Were there any precautions you took between the time of like starting the IVF journey and like when you guys decided to, okay, let's have kids?
Very funny question. Once we got married, we started on birth control. So she was taking the pills, the birth control pills. And
I do not recommend.
I mean, taking the birth control pills, right? And, you know, it was going, and, you know, you took it pretty good, right? She didn't like the pills. She actually hated swallowing pills.
No, it was tiny enough. I didn't mind it. It was
but yeah. we took a trip to Nigeria just, you know, to celebrate something. I think it was, well, I don't know. Anyways, she forgot the birth control pills. And,
because he's not remembering correctly.
But that's so
I did not forget my birth control pills. I'm a bit too organized for that. But because of, like, I think changes in time differences, morning becomes nice, night becomes morning. Things kind of got kind of mushy there. And I think that it didn't really align in the system. So I think that's where something may have gone wrong. Again, I personally do not recommend the pills. And I think that, and this is one thing I always say for couples who have like alternate plans to have kids beyond just when you have like ASAS, is double layer your birth control. Like one is not enough because the risk is too high. The things at stake is too high. And no one method is like 100% guaranteed unless you and your husband are, you know, sleeping in different rooms. You know what I mean? So continue your story.
Yeah. I mean, so yeah, apparently the time zones got mixed up, but one way or the other, right? And we also tried to double layer, and one way or the other, at some point we didn't double layer. I managed to convince her that, don't worry about that, it's not needed, forget about that. Next thing we knew, you know, we came back to the US and it was all fine. And then we started having a conversation that, okay, you know what, I think it's time to have kids, right? Well, she had the conversation that she thinks it's time to have kids. And I was like, no, we just got married. Let's still have fun, enjoy ourselves, travel all over the world. It was actually like a week to my birthday or so, maybe the day before my birthday.
Oh,
and then, anniversary, same difference. Okay. April, June, very close. Okay. And so we're celebrating our 1 year anniversary and she just started smiling in the restaurant. And I'm like, okay, I feel like you're happy that we're married, but come on, what's up? Anyways, we got back home and she was like, yeah, I have something for you. And then she put it in my hand, the test result. And I was like, oh, what was it? I thought it was like a card or something. And I looked at it.
Oh, it was
a
card.
Oh, it was in a card. Okay, so I opened the card and the smile on my face froze like this, like,
what is this?
You know how you see those cute pregnancy announcement videos on you know, online, and you're like, oh, wife tells the husband is like so happy, hugs her and spins her. My husband.
Like I was frozen.
It almost looks like I gave him bad news. I'm like,
I was, the idea of like being pregnant was, you know, amazing, right? We're gonna have a kid, but we're going to have a kid where we know we have this risk. That was all that was thinking in my head. Straight away, my head went to Nigeria. How will I tell my father? How will I tell my mother? What will this person say? How we do this? How we do that? Like, I thought through an entire lifetime in half a second. it was rough. So, I mean, thankfully, our first kid came out amazing. Not his ear, so... We've started telling him. After that, the birth control and layers, and I mean, we just had to not to take that risk anymore. Because we thought the pills would be fine, but apparently it's not guaranteed.
Wow. I think this really points to one thing we try to educate people on. The risk is per pregnancy, because I feel like people think about it as a lifetime when they say you have 25% chance of having a kid with sickle cell disease. They feel like it's 25% chance anytime, you know, like throughout the whole time of having kids, but it's per pregnancy. Because some people might hear the story, they're like, their first kid came out, you know, as AS, so you should be fine. But it doesn't always happen that way. For you guys were super lucky.
Yeah, and even the other part, it's not just the risk is per pregnancy. The risk is per interaction, if you know what I mean, right?
Right.
If you do interact and you don't have birth control, or you don't have a plan in place, that's a risk right there.
Right. I 100% agree. That's true. So let's talk about this IVF journey, what it was like for you guys, how you ended up deciding. Tell us about challenges that you faced.
Yeah. So we started with an initial consult after we explored the adoption option and we didn't like that. And then we did a consult. We just said, let's hear what it's about. We don't have to commit to it. We just want to know what we're getting into. And so we had the initial consult. They ask you all these questions, essentially trying to gauge if you're a good fit for an IVF. So how old are you? You know, how often do you have sex? How long have you tried? Just like a bunch of like just random questions to try to understand how fertile you are and how likely it is for it to work. So, and then they walked us through the process. You know, it's like an IVF process, except on that, there's another layer of testing on the fertilized embryos to see which ones have the, you know, the sickle cell traits or the sickle cell disease. And then obviously they will implant the ones that are healthy. You know, we sat on it for like a couple months after that initial consult. I'm like, Jesus, hey, do I really want to do this? Like, it's just a lot involved. It's a lot of testing, a lot of needles. I do not like needles. I'm so scared of like just a flu shot. I'm just like, I don't want to see the needle. I'm just thinking about the different parts of my body that those needles went into. It was a lot. It was a lot. But okay, it was so worth it. It was so worth it. I mean, you have to think about the big picture.
How long was the process?
I honestly don't remember.
So from the time of the initial consult till the time where you were pregnant and you didn't have to take any additional step. So from time of the initial consult till time when they did the egg extraction, the fertilization, the implantation. And then after the implantation, I think another 15 to 16 weeks, you're still taking injections to boost your system.
Estrogens and
yeah. So in total, it's at least, I think it was at least 30 weeks or so, because it's like several weeks of the injection to stimulate the eggs, the extraction. So yeah, in total, it's a long process.
It's a long process. I know I would say from the point where we did the consultation to the point of pregnancy was definitely close to a year. Also because we told at some point, like, it's just a lot. Like at some point I was like, I'm going to take a break. You know, like I definitely remember stalling for a couple months, and then the testing, we had to like get some genetic testing from my parents who are in Nigeria. They had to mail it to them. They mailed it back. Just that process also takes some time, just naturally. The lab doing the test also takes some time, you know, to get the results back. So I would say everything all in all, between all the weights and everything, was probably close to a year. But it was worth it. Yeah.
Wow. I hear needles and I'm just like, I like to
give it. You're a
doctor. She's a doctor.
I like to give it, but I don't want to receive it.
So interesting.
It's just long, pointy things that prick your skin. How bad is it?
All right.
She was the one giving me the needles and he didn't care at all. Like, I would never be able to do that to someone.
Oh, wow.
Like a mean person.
Oh, yeah. He was stabbing me and everything.
Wow. Yeah, that sounds, I feel like sometimes when people hear IVF, the needle part doesn't really come up like in the first conversation. You just know, yes, they're extracting the eggs and they'll put it back, you know, after they like check and do things with it. But there's needles involved.
Yeah.
Sometimes daily.
Oh, yeah.
Ooh. At some point, she was looking like a junkie. Like, you see black marks on the hand.
Yeah.
I was like, okay, are you sure that you've not been? Yeah.
Wow. So, if you were to share like something you learned through the IVF process that no one told you about, you learned that on your own, what do you think that would be?
The emotional part.
I mean, they kind of told you, right?
Yeah. I don't know. I would say I don't really think that I expected pain. I had pain in different ways. Like, one was after, so they give you all these injections to stimulate your ovaries to make a lot of eggs, yeah? And I got a lot of eggs, and I felt so much. I looked like I was pregnant then. I don't know how it works, because those eggs are tiny, but somehow you probably know the medical science behind it. But I remember being in a lot of pain, especially the night before my extraction. Like, it started slowly, but the night before they extracted the eggs, I remember calling the doctor. The doctor had like a hotline thingy, and I called them. The nurse picks up, and I'm like, I'm in a lot of pain. I feel like I'm going to die. I cannot wait till morning.
And that was before labor pain, by the way.
Yeah, that feels like a lot. I also remember the other pain that I felt was after I actually got pregnant. You still have to keep taking these estrogens and progesterones or whatever. It's like twice a day or morning and evening. Whew. And I feel like I had it in excess, and I just felt terrible. Like, I just remember feeling my existence just felt stressful and painful. And I was like, I can't keep taking these injections. Like, they make me feel so terrible. Like, I just couldn't even like just sit and breathe, was just work.
No, it turns you don't need you depressed, right?
Yes, yes. That's definitely another thing. So it was just all in all, like, I was ready to be over with the whole thing, the whole pregnancy, everything. Yeah. But now looking back, you have to put things in perspective. It's for a period, and that period is going to pass, even though it's painful. So if you're feeling this way now, just going through IVF and PGD for what, a year, maybe 2 years max, think about how a child with sickle cell for their entire lives would feel. And it's even worse pain than what you're feeling, thinking you're feeling pain in IVF. So putting those things in perspective, I was like, sure, I'll go through it. Will I do it again? No. But, but you know, it was definitely 100% worth it.
Yeah, I wasn't prepared for how she would change in terms of like the emotional part, because I just thought, okay, they're just removing eggs and putting eggs back, right? You've already been pregnant with a son, this is just your daughter, right? It's not that much different. But no, it was different, especially when I had to be the one giving the injections. She'll come home and she's just like so, she looks so depressed and sad. And with all the different hormones going into your body, like, it seems like, oh yeah, it's just hormones, but no, it does affect you, the way you think, that your mood, a lot of things. So yeah, I definitely did not expect that.
It probably varies from person to, not that it probably, I know it varies from person to person, because I was blessed with people, at least two people at the same time, who were kind of going through the IVF and PGD process, at least IVF for different reasons, fertility or for sickle cell prevention. And the fact that we were experiencing different things at different times, like, for example, the pain that I felt when I was with all those eggs, some people felt their pain after the extraction. So, and for me, afterwards, I was fine. So everyone is kind of different, you know, and it's just something you have to expect, that it's not a smooth ride. It's not a sentence of go do PGD and IVF. It's there's so much loaded into that sentence.
Yeah, but one very important thing that we should also note on there state is the fact that the IVF process is not guaranteed to work, right? And when I say guaranteed to work, I mean guaranteed to be successful. It may not necessarily lead to a full-term pregnancy. In fact, a lot of people, especially when they're older, they don't get pregnant by IVF the first or the second time. It's maybe on the third try. And so it's one thing that for those that are deciding to go down this path, right? Really think about it, right? Think about the practical, think about your age, right? If you're younger, chances are that it may not be as smooth as you're, or rather, if you're older, chances are it may not be as smooth as you expect. So, but you know, luckily for us, thank God, right? It was the first try, but that's not the case for everyone.
I'm so glad you mentioned that. I was going to say that too. With medicine, there's no 100% guarantee with everything. And even IVF, this is something that's super delicate. People can look up YouTube videos on the whole process on what they're actually doing and really putting those two things together to make it happen and putting it back in your body. Like, something could go wrong somewhere, you know? Mm-hmm. For the financial factor, how did you guys navigate that process? What was it like for you guys?
I think when we knew we were planning to go through this process, we started the process, I think it was like around April of the first year. And so we first of all signed up for the most expensive insurance for her company during the open enrollment period, because we knew that would cover the most number of things. So, you know, a lot of the expenses came out of like the bi-monthly paycheck, where they're removing the insurance cost, right? And so luckily, right, the insurance covered, I think, was it 100%?
It wasn't 100%, but it covered, I think we had to meet a deductible. We had a very high deductible we had to meet, and then they started to cover things at 100%. But in the process of going through the IVF, I changed jobs. Changed jobs, and I remember thinking, God, was this a good idea? And then we thought, okay, we saw the new jobs insurance was crappy, did not cover anything with regards to IVF, and we're like, oh man, we're screwed. And so we decided to, I don't know where your audience is, but we did this COBRA thing where you can keep your previous jobs, insurance. So we did that, which meant that we paid both our portion of the insurance as well as what the company would otherwise contribute to the insurance, because we're no longer with the company. We had to pay that portion. And so that got crazy expensive. But we're like, you know what? This is still better since they're covering everything else at 100%. So we kept on going until we had maxed out like the year, what is it? The annual benefits was restarting. So we had to, we reset our deductible back to zero. Oof. So we had to remit the deductible again. Well, so it was just all very
messy.
By
then though, you were already pregnant by the time the new one started.
No, unfortunately not. Yeah, I remember it just being very, very messy. And it really wasn't as smooth as we would have liked it to be. But again, thank God, like we're both blessed with good jobs. Another expense that we had to do was like the medicines, these injections that we're talking about. Insurance is not paying for your medicines. Like you have to pay out of pocket for it. And it sounds like, oh yeah, it's just a med, you know, $20, you pick it up. These are not $20 meds. These cost in the thousands of dollars for the meds. So these are things you have to think about, you know, have your savings ready.
Ready.
Yes, like ready if you want to go through this process.
Or go get a job with a company that covers every single
thing. You know, there you go. Yeah.
So, you know, Microsoft, Facebook, Google.
Another thing I want to mention is leveraging other people. So like, I know we like to act like I land and show up with a baby the next in 9 months or whatever, but
oh, God did it.
Life does not work like that. Like working closely with other people. I have friends who are going through the process. I'm like, yo, what meds extra do you have? I don't know if this is legal for your medical people, but if your meds are not expired and they're left over and you're going to sit it down there to just rot, you know, that's money being thrown in the bin. I'm collecting your meds. So I definitely collected like a whole lot of meds from two friends who were going through the process. They were part of an IVF group where people just had excess meds that they hadn't used up and their treatments were done. Collect it, give it to me. I didn't take the ones that you put in the fridge though, just the ones that you don't have to refrigerate. So that way I know nothing could have gone wrong. They were unopened. Yes, I use them. I'm alive. My child is well. But those are ways that I save like, what, hundreds, probably hundreds, close to $1,000. Yeah.
Wow. Wow. So a lot of people like to ask like ballpark amount. How much do you think? And this I know is going to differ per person. If you were to round it up in like a ballpark amount, if you're comfortable sharing,
pay everything out of pocket, I'd say it's nothing less than $40,000. It can be more, but you know, insurance negotiates the rates down, so it's kind of hard to say the actual amount, but it's probably nothing less than that. But if we were to look at what we paid,
I have no idea. I want to share it. Everyone has asked me and I'm like,
personally, between the cost of the insurance, the COBRA, the medicines and everything, probably nothing less than an additional $5,000 plus, but I don't know, it can be much more, right?
I would have guessed it was more.
We didn't keep track. Like, this is the kind of thing you want to keep track of.
And it's not like it's a one-time payment. You just go to the hospital and you pay that one
time.
It trickles through the months, through the weeks. So I don't know how much you spent in total.
No, I mean, what you shared is definitely good enough so people understand. It really differs from person to person, from insurance to insurance, state to state, country to country.
Yeah.
But like, yeah, that ballpark of 40,000 is pretty common. And there's people that've paid more and it could not work. And then you have to do it all over again, you know, another thousands of dollars.
Yeah.
Wow. Definitely kudos to you guys. I'm just still thinking about those needles. I couldn't. That sounds painful. But honestly, I feel like sometimes you're in situations and like when that's the option, you wear your big girl pants and you just do what you have to do. So now you guys have two kids?
We do, yes.
Awesome, awesome, awesome. Okay, so I'm going to just start wrapping up here. This last question. What would you say to couples who are trying to decide if continuing the relationship or building a family is worth it because they both have sickle cell trait and they're just trying to figure out if they should get married or not? What would you say to those couples?
Wow. That's deep, I can't tell you whether or not to continue. I can't tell you to end your relationship, and I can't tell you to go get married. I think this is something, a conversation you have to have with each other and with God. I think that God's plans for everyone is different. And I ask that question a lot of God. Like, honestly, I just needed clarity. So just getting that clarity from God, I'm like, God, if you don't want me to do this, I have no interest in continuing this relationship. Don't look at me like that.
The fact is,
even though we've invested 3 years in it, like now what? It's how many years after that? 10 years later, you know, we move on and somehow God has a way of healing our hearts. So I would say just definitely getting that conviction from God or whoever your faith, you worship in your faith. And also, if you do decide to get married, is understanding what you're walking into before you walk into it, weigh your costs, have a plan, and stick to the plan. I think we've covered everything, every one of these in details. I can't say this enough, but winging it and having a baby, just praying to God to give you a healthy child, is not a valid option.
Yeah, that's not to say God doesn't answer prayers, right? But it's not an option. Right?
Yeah. One other thing I would say, when a lot of people, when we were in this and a lot of people were like, ha, here's, you can't marry. Sorry.
They actually use the H factor like that.
Sorry. You know, one thing that came to my mind, I was like, who told you I want to have kids anyway? Like, I'm sorry. That was the person I could.
Right.
I'm not worried about my, who told you I want right. to be with offspring to start with?
Sorry. So, you are Nigerian. The de facto is
married. I know.
9 months later, we're at your house celebrating. That's the de facto.
Is kids do not define your marriage. And it's valid if you're like, you know what, IVF is too much, adoption just sounds let's just get married
and not have any kids.
You know, we
world.
Have nieces and nephews,
no shackles,
we can love on them. It's valid too. It's a valid option to consider. So don't
But it's not so much about saying I don't want to have kids or not, right? Because once again, see what happened to us. An accident happened,
right?
What if an accident happens even mm-hmm. if you don't want to have kids? Mm-hmm. So the most mm-hmm. important thing is you really do need to have a plan. I think she said it well, but I'll summarize two things, right? Number one, that conviction, right? Is this the person that come heaven or hell I'll fight for, right? If you mm-hmm. have that conviction that this is the right person that you want to be with and that you're not the kind of person that will say, you know what, it's not working, let's go our separate ways. Then in that case, don't even be in that kind of situation. And then once that is done, right, have your plan. Your number one plan, your backup plan, and your prevention plan, right?
Yes. Yeah.
Yes.
And
yes.
And then win cost, right? Because yeah. once again, if you're in a country like, it's people in Nigeria go through this process. I'm not saying it's about Nigeria, but if you don't have the resources in Nigeria, and then if you don't have a job that can provide you the resources, sorry, sis, bro, like mm-hmm. you really, really need to think through your options to see if it's even possible at all.
Yeah.
Right.
Unfortunately, life sometimes is not fair. And
yeah. I will add one more thing to a different category of people. And those are the people who are not yet in a relationship. Because it's so much easier. Honestly, like everyone should get tested, know your genotype, get tested 2 or 3 times because we've all learned. I've heard too many stories of people getting it wrong. I don't know what's going on with the testing system, but get tested, get it tested again, and then just ask that question up front. Like, it's so much easier to just avoid it altogether. I know the dating world is wild out there because the good men, I don't know where they're hiding. But I'm saying it, no, for my
took one.
My single friends, I've heard it's pretty hard out there. Now we have another filter to apply for those who are AS. Right. I think it's worth it. It's so much worth it just to get married to someone who's AA and avoid all these headaches and extra layer of thinking that you have to do. But obviously, right. if you're already in a relationship and you're already having this conversation, that's a whole different ballgame. So.
Right. I think you guys' story plays a very, very key role here because things can change. Like, you didn't have that factor when you started dating and your relationship is in so deep. I mean, he gave you a ring.
You know, so, that ring was just like college student salary ring.
Even still, you know, there was that extra step of commitment there. So like, this is pretty big. And for things to just turn around, it really just shows that yeah, you can be having those conversations in the beginning, but like you might have to reconsider again and go into really deep evaluation again, you know, later. So I thank you guys for the story, because people who are not in relationships will learn. People who are in relationships now and the guy is like, yeah, I'm AA now. They're like, go and get tested, you know, just so we know exactly where we're at. So just wrapping up here, do you guys do any work currently in the sickle cell community that you'd like to share with us?
No, we don't. I mean, we've put out a few YouTube videos, I think three at this point, with regards to sickle cell. And she was like, okay, I think people are bombarded. just educating people through our experiences. And because of those YouTube videos, we do have people who reach out to us, couples who are trying to make that decision, that just want to have conversations, have reached out to us. So I think, to me, I see it as my way of giving back, is just talking to people, helping them understand what they're about to walk into, and putting that warning into their ear. Hey, if you have a challenge to sell, this love you're talking about, you know? So
right.
That's my way of just kind of supporting the community.
Absolutely. I think it's a very valid conversation to be having, people to have that resource and like someone they can like tap into and be like, hey, you guys, living testimonies, can you share? So that's really cool. How can people continue to interact with you? Do you want to share your social media platforms so people can go and see more of you?
Oh, yeah. So you can find us on Instagram, TikTok, and YouTube at The Shofs, T-H-E-S-H-O-F-S.
Okay, cool. So it's The Shofs on Instagram, TikTok, and YouTube. So go ahead and follow them, like, subscribe, all of that stuff. Click all those buttons. So I just want to say thank you so much for coming on this podcast episode and just sharing your personal experience with us today. I had such a great time. These are very important conversations that need to be had, reminding people of like reality when it comes to some of these topics. And I'm sure a lot of people in our community have learned a lot about this, because we get a lot of questions. People want to see faces of people who've been through the process. It's almost kind of like a little bit of a sensitive topic. People living with sickle cell trait, do you get married? Do you not get married? There's no really right or wrong answer. It depends on your situation. So thank you so much for coming and sharing with us. If you guys have any questions or you want your stories to be shared or heard, please email us at podcast@sc101.org. Make sure you don't forget to rate this podcast 5 stars, share it using our podcast link in the description, and all the previous episodes as well. Go and check them out. You can also find our educational content on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, TikTok at Sickle Cell 101. Follow us at Sickle Cell 101. Like the video, like the podcast, all of that stuff. And just remember, this podcast is for educational purposes only. Please always seek medical advice from your primary care physician or your hematologist. Thank you once again for listening, and we will catch you next time. Bye.
Bye.
Bye.